Hello there, and welcome to episode 168.5 of the FlameFlash.net podcast. Ready for round two, bud?
Yep.
So, scheduling-wise, through the power of the internet, part one will go live probably this evening, Sunday, November 17th, and then part two will probably go live the evening. I'll just schedule it to go live the evening of November 18th, so that way folks have, you know, a day to process, a day to respond if they want to, podcast@flameflash.net, and we'll go from there. Is there anything else coming to your mind before we launch into my couple of notes?
Not really.
All right. So, the first thing I wanted to say, hello and thank you, as a call out, because going out and using YouTube now, I actually picked up like three different subscribers in the last week. So thank you to that, guys. I'm not going to be able to call everybody out every single time, but it looks like I picked up a Jayla, a Peter, and a Rhaegar. So thank you for joining me. I don't know if you'll stick around or not, but thank you. And then we had an actual comment on last week's episode from Wizzy. And this one was kind of funny because Wizzy said, and I quote, may I be the first to comment, don't tell half the country the racist bigots. Well, I responded to Wizzy with just a, please point me on last episode where I actually said that. And the closest we could find, because Nell Fury and I both listened to it as we were heading to a doctor's appointment, was me calling some folks misogynists. And that's it. I didn't call anybody racist. I didn't call anybody bigots. Misogynists, yeah, but I mean, that's just individuals supporting the patriarchy rather than and voting their gender rather than perhaps digging truly into the long-term benefit of voting for Harris versus Trump. But all of that's over with. So thank you, Wizzy, for the comment, but clearly you didn't actually listen to the podcast either. So there's that. But that was my first note from everything, so I can delete that off of my list. Anything to add there, bud?
Not really, just that I can confirm that we listened to the last podcast.
Yeah, so who knows? Who knows? I think somebody just probably, it was a cultist that assumed because I was speaking negatively about Trump in like the first 5 minutes, decided, oh, somewhere in here, he's going to call me a racist and a bigot. So this is how I'm going to leave my mark and hurt his feelings. Like, nah, bud. I've been through a lot. I've been cut by a lot that definitely doesn't close to being called something that I didn't even say or called out for something that I didn't even say. So thanks for trying, Wizzy. Thanks for stopping by. I do invite you to stick around. I would love an actual back and forth conversation or argument, a different perspective to view, but that wasn't it. But with that being said, YouTube comment there, that goes off the list. I have seen some fun headlines. Well, not so fun per se, but just headlines that divorces are on the rise suddenly. Post-election, wives are just going, here's your divorce. Because there were a lot of couples, I guess, that the woman voted blue, and the man voted red, and this was their first presidential election together. And now they don't even know who they're talking to anymore, because they've shared a home, they've shared a family, they've shared a myriad of things, and clearly the man didn't listen to her at all about her fears and concerns. Kind of like the meme I've seen of, if you voted red, you don't have a trans or gay friend, you have a trans or gay acquaintance. Because a friend would not have voted red. They would have listened to their friend's concerns and fears and respected them enough to not vote red.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I stopped being friends with a person.
Good boy for not name dropping, thank you. But yeah, I know. And what's unfortunate is that neither of you are voting. So it's a little unfortunate that you felt you needed to do that, but you felt you needed to do that for your own mental health, and that's that.
Actually, he was able to vote this year.
Oh, well, that's new news to me, and yeah. Heartbreaking. But it's a trust thing. And one of the cornerstone, the foundation of a marriage, no matter gender, foundation of any relationship, but a marriage most of all, needs to be communication. Like, the communication flow needs to be going constantly. Now, this doesn't say you need to be controlling about it and be who, what, where, when, and why, and how, when spouse goes out to be with friends, but the mutual respect, one of the cornerstones, is you're going to share that information so your spouse, your partner, doesn't worry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, hey, babe, I'm going over to MTG's for a while. I'm using his online handle or the start of it. And we're going to play Magic the Gathering. Hey, look, that's what it stands for. But now you know where I am, who I'm with, if anything goes wrong. That's all it is. It's the mutual respect of where the partner is, so that in an emergency situation, there's not panic of, where are they? Oh, they're super late from getting home from work. Did they get hit? Did they hit a deer? Did they get hit by a deer? That's what I almost said. So, but that kind of thing, you know? So one of the foundations is, the foundation is communication, but one of the cornerstones is respect. And if these women no longer feel respected because their spouse didn't listen to their concerns about the election, by all means, they should be serving that paperwork. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The other cornerstone is trust. You can't trust somebody who literally voted against your well-being. Can't trust them. So there's another reason. Right?
Yep.
And then care would be the other cornerstone. You need to care about, and that kind of goes back into the trust and the respect, care for and about their feelings, their emotional state, their needs. And it needs to go both ways. The husband can't be the only one catered to.
Yeah.
The other husband can't be the only one catered to. Or wife. Or wife to wife. Or, you know, however it happens to be. I'm trying to be inclusive. But so care. And then, so we have trust, care, respect, with the foundation of communication. And then crap. I went on a rant on this on a different site, on a different page, and I'm forgetting what I said for the fourth corner. Do you have an idea of what the fourth corner of a relationship should be? Pop quiz.
Something about long distance or short distance?
I mean, proximity is important, but I wouldn't call it a cornerstone because long distance relationships can work, you know? But
Fair.
they're built on the trust, the respect, the communication, the care. But we'll move on. I'm not a relationship podcast by any means of the word, says the divorced 42-year-old single parent. But so that's why, though, it makes sense that these divorce rates are already on the rise. The statistically speaking, they're young marriages, so they're still learning about each other, and really you should be talking politics with your potential spouse before you marry, so you're not
Yeah.
rudely surprised by these kinds of things. But the other side of it is there's the fear that come this wave of red that just occurred, they will remove no-fault divorces. Now, this is one of those weird things that it doesn't matter who the president is. This is a state issue. It's just one of those knee-jerk reactionary kind of things, but in the other
Oh,
direction. Say what?
I said, oh, how fun.
Because a no-fault divorce, are you familiar with what that is? That's okay if you're not. A no-fault divorce is when you can seek out a divorce for any reason or zero reason. It's just, I'm done. I'm out. Please, let's have a civil lawsuit that says we are breaking the marriage contract. Period. Hard stop. End of discussion. We're going to discuss and hopefully amicably split up assets, decide who gets the kids on what weekend, etc. But the court needs to be involved because it is a breaking of contract and they are attempting to be as fair and unbiased as possible during the process. A fault divorce, and oddly enough, this was started being instituted or going away from back in the 80s with California. Under then Governor Reagan, who saw that the civil courts and divorce court in particular was starting to become just this kangaroo court of drama and terrible, he said, she said, let's hire a private investigator, let's hire this or that. And it was a Batwano show. I'm not going to swear on the podcast, but, a poop show.
Gotcha.
And because you had to prove in court why the marriage contract should be ended. Generally, infidelity. Somebody cheated on somebody else. But to get to that point, you had like the private investigator peeping in somebody's window, taking pictures. That kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible nonsense that it's not necessary. And then they would use those arguments then to go, this is why I should have the house, or this is why I should have the kids. And really, those very human mistakes shouldn't be the reason why one parent or the other gets to cut the other parent off from access to the kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, our situation is very unique. I had to file via newspaper, and you know that story, and we're not going to go into it here, but that's just how it is.
Yeah.
So there's that fear. Fear leads to anger. anger leads to action. In this case, it's an increase of divorces, even though there's been no large talk of no-fault divorces even going away. So, kind of weird, but there's that. Now, I hinted in part one about Trump selecting Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. Do you know who that individual is at all?
No.
So this individual is about the slimiest House Republican you can find. He is currently under investigation, multiple investigations for sex trafficking and worse things. So just a very, very slimy individual. Sex trafficking is a nice way of saying people being basically bought and sold for the purposes of being used in that way. Yeah, exactly. It's terribly disgusting. It's terribly wrong. Yet, this is who Trump picks to lead the Justice Department. So, you just know, regardless of your opinion of Trump the man, why in the world are you okay with this? I mean, you also elected a felon to the highest office in the land. So I guess you're just okay with literally draining the swamp into the White House. I'm making a joke reference there, Bud, to in 2016, he swore he would drain the swamp of Washington. But then we realized he was just draining it from all of the corruption into one place under him. And he's doing the same thing, because all he cares about is that these are mostly yes men. People that will just smile and nod and go with whatever he says. And it's
of course.
It's disturbing. It's scary. But our only point of comfort is he is also an exceptionally fickle beast that loves to shoot himself in the foot. So he's going to fire Matt Gaetz, I'm sure, the moment Gaetz accidentally trips up and goes off script. So, nobody stays in his cabinet for very long. So, we at least have that one glimmer of, hooray, he resigned from the House. He's no longer in government. Oh, wait, he's going to be in government again. But then he's going to tick Trump off somehow, and he'll fall back out of government and go back into the private world. And then hopefully the law catches up with him and he can be truly prosecuted for his sliminess, if any facts are actually there, you know. To be fair, these are all accusations. So guilty until proven, or innocent until proven guilty. There we go. That's the proper way to say it. So right now, it's all accusations. Now, based on his actions, they're probably true. But they haven't been proven true yet. It's like the saying of, live your life in such a way that if an... I'm butchering this saying so much, I apologize. Live your life in such a way that if an accusation arises against you, nobody believes that it's real. So be such a good person that if somebody in anger does accuse you of something, nobody believes it's true. Now, granted, there are some super slimy individuals that their public face is so amazing or fun or neat. And then you go behind the scenes and it's like, holy crap, he has a torture dungeon in his basement that nobody knew about. You know?
Yeah.
But on average, those accusations aren't going to come up at all, period, if you are that good of a person. Now, sometimes you can take it to extreme, like Mike Pence, for example, the Trump's former vice president, would make sure to basically always have another witness around. So if he was in a private room or going to be in a private meeting with a woman, he'd make sure somebody else was there. So there could never be an accusation. He was that paranoid. So you have to wonder what's going on in the back of his mind, that he didn't trust himself, or so heavily didn't trust anybody to make a baseless accusation. Women aren't making baseless accusations for the most part. Statistically speaking, if they make an accusation, it's because it actually happened. Right?
I believe so, yeah.
So the fact that he was so scared and untrusting makes me think he was probably a very terrible individual to be around in private, but I never met the guy, so I don't know. But that's neither here nor there. He's not the vice president anymore. And he did have the guts and moral fiber to say no to Trump when he was asked to throw out the election results back in January 6th. So he had to just go to his cultists to try to overthrow the government. But now that's all kind of moot because he's back in office anyway. Peachy. But as a completely hard left turn, let's get off politics. We've talked about politics for a good 50 minutes, and this rarely happens, but it's probably going to continue to happen as basically a damage report given we're entering another Trump era. So I apologize to that, my dear listeners. If you have to stop due to anxiety, Keela, based on what we're talking about, I certainly understand. I'll give you a heads up when it's not going to be so much about politics. But in the realm of cybersecurity, hard pivot, I warned you. I, in the last week, got a very amusing text, and it simply read, "Hi, this is Sophia from Whitkiefer Incorporated. Are you interested in exploring remote positions that offer flexibility?" So, one, I have not applied to any job with Whitkiefer at all. So there's your first big red flag that this is a fishing expedition, you know?
Yeah.
And two, when you get something like this, if you want to be entertained, because by all means, ignoring or deleting or marking it as spam is certainly an option. I like screwing with scammers, as one of my earlier return podcast episodes shows. But I looked them up. So first, I looked up Whitkiefer Incorporated to see if they were even a legitimate business. And they are. And what's funny is they actually have a website page or a page on their website dedicated to the fact that scammers use them to go on fishing expeditions. So they're not going to contact you, and they say this on their page, unless you have actually applied for a position and are seeking, and it's to open up dialogue for that position that you've applied for. So they're not going to cold call anyone. So they just say that outright on their website. Well, I went the extra mile after finding that, and I texted back that screenshot from their website, just like a F you. I know you're a scammer, go away kind of thing. I then also reverse lookuped the phone number, and it was tied to an individual, a male appearing individual's name. And so this phone number is probably being spoofed. It's probably not getting to the right person. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe it's just registered. Like, you got calls looking for other people when you got your cell phone, right?
Eh.
A little bit. So it happens when phone numbers expire, when they change hands. But I then texted them a picture of the reverse lookup going, you know, you're clearly not this individual. You just introduced yourself as Sophia, and this individual's name starts with a J and is more male-oriented, it looks like. So then I just sent them a little shoe Jack Sparrow gif afterwards, and I blocked the number. So just your cybersecurity alert of the day. Don't trust. And if they're asking for immediate action, while your gut might say, I need to take immediate action and do whatever it says this message is telling me to do, you have to pause, take a breath, realize if you've been compromised, like your bank account has been compromised, it's already been compromised. You acting in haste isn't going to fix it at all. The money's already gone, you know? So you contact your bank, you contact your entity, you contact another way to contact whatever company is reaching out to you via this text or email, and you confirm it in a different way. You don't follow any links. You don't respond with anything personal. You go and confirm it some other way, and you leave that original message alone. So there's your cybersecurity tip.
Nice.
I hinted that we played some Overwatch last week, some Overwatch Classic. You enjoy that? I enjoyed that.
I personally enjoyed it, yeah.
Awesome. Yep. And then we've been playing some World of Warcraft.
Yep.
And so technically, I really need to be reaching out to your sister, getting rolling. I'll post these podcast episodes, but then get rolling, get your sister back up to her college, and then get home. So maybe we can play some more World of Warcraft tonight, because we've been having a blast, haven't we?
Yeah.
Leveling, taking advantage of the 20th anniversary. And then when I was playing D&D earlier today with your aunt and uncle over Discord, we snuck in a game.